Brightside Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Brightside Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, yes, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, time now, 3:07 PM. Going to the next part of the Triple Dipper. So number one was D-Day 78 years later. Spent some time talking about that. Number two, I'm calling it election desperation. I mean, there's so many things happening in the wake of our most recent primary elections. And I'm talking both Republican and Democrat. I mean, we got election contests going on left and right. We got strange endorsements and potential for re-endorsements and just stuff happening. So I just thought, you know what, I'm calling this one election desperation. That's number two on the Triple Dipper. But before I go too much further, I am pleased to bring back on a friend of mine who's been in the studio with me here before, State Representative Mac Butler, who, by the way, I'll go ahead and say right up front, the reason why I became an active member of the Republican Party, not a Republican, but a part of the Republican Party, was because of my brother Mac Butler recruited me in. Am I right in saying that, Mac Butler?
Absolutely, and you were one of our shining stars, one of the most conservative, hardest-fighting senators that I had the honor to actually serve with as well.
Well, and I did not have to pay him to say that. That is wonderful. Thank you, Mac Butler. Hey, listen, all right, brothers, first of all, congratulations. You won your race. So for the rest of the world out there who doesn't know, State Representative Mac Butler had represented District 28?
No, 30.
30, District 30. That's right, for 4 years.
Six.
Oh, that's right. It was six.
Yeah, special
right.
Election.
Special election.
So terms,
that's right. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. That's right, because I remember coming to your house the night of the special
right.
election.
You came and prayed with me. You looked for me. I was moving all over.
Yeah, you were.
And you said you wanted to come pray with me, and that meant more than you'll ever know to me.
Well.
And to my family, just to come, because you knew what we were entering, the lion's den there.
Well, it was. Still is. Mm-hmm. But, brother, you were out for 4 years, and you decided to go take your old house seat back, although they redrew the line, so now you're in District
28.
So that being said, you ran your election against a sitting incumbent, Gil Isbell,
yep.
and beat him.
Yep.
And now you got to go see it be challenged.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty bad because Representative Gil Isbell did call me that night and gave a nice, you know, he congratulated me and conceded the election. He also conceded it publicly on his Facebook page, and last time I looked, it's still there. But now he has decided to contest the election. And there were a few issues here, a lot of issues that were fixed prior to the election, but over at the Elliott Community Center box is what I understand was supposed to be only 28. There were 10 votes cast for District 29 at that box. I had won that box with 165 votes. He got 106. There were 47 provisional ballots cast. I got 32. He got 15. But somehow he still thinks he has asked the party to declare him the victor, and if not, to have another vote.
That ain't gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen. And you can't do the best two out of three. It's just sore losers. I mean, honestly, sore losers is all. You know, it's important to win humbly. It's important to lose humbly as well.
Well, and now the audience knows, because I've been talking about it, that we did have a jacked up situation. Our board of registrars needs to all lose their jobs here in Etowah County. I mean, every single one of them.
And I think they did. I think a couple have started.
Well, that's only rightful, in my opinion.
Yes, they did make a mess.
Terminate for cause. But yeah, just to remind the audience real quick, y'all remember me talking about the story about how Etowah County, Alabama, the board of registrars, even though I had been in a lawsuit on another election as an attorney for someone who lost by one vote, and we found multiple provisional ballots that had been discounted for all the wrong reasons and got them back in, the board of registrars still didn't see fit to then fix things the right way. It was your sister,
yep.
Lori, who went to vote, what, absentee, I believe.
She was voting in-person absentee because even though she's living here, she was still working in Carrollton, finishing out her school year. She since has retired. And I wasn't on the ballot, and they argued with her and said she had the right ballot, so she cast it. She called me, and I got the maps. And of course, I called up there, and they told me I was wrong. And I kept saying, guys, I promise I'm right. I'm looking at it. And when I called the Board of Registrars, they said, well, and this does happen. There's always a few that fall through the cracks.
Sure,
they said,
a few.
We'll fix it. No big deal. That's the only one. So I didn't accept that, and I kept checking miles away in Rainbow City. there were 2,500 Secretary of State confirmed that were in the wrong
district. In the wrong district.
So they did fix that, and they assured us they would check spot check all over the county. So that, thankfully, that nightmare was fixed. But on Election Day, there was a gentleman that had qualified. He was told he lived in District 29. You know, I'm running for 28.
Right.
He was told he lived in 29. He qualified, and he's campaigning. And then thereafter, he's told he lives in 28, so he was disqualified. He bebops in to vote on Election Day, and he's one of the 10, apparently, unless he voted a provisional, that was given a 29 ballot. So, of course, rightly so, he hits the roof.
Yeah.
But we think
they
it's
denied
a very,
his ability to run.
Yes. We think it's a very, in, at least in District 28, we think it's very mild. No one has given any numbers. They said they don't have the numbers yet. I don't know that we'll ever get the numbers.
Well, you won. We know the numbers we know are right now. The certified vote is you won by several hundred.
219.
219. Okay, you won by a total of 219, which is not, you know, it's enough. All you have to do is win by one. But
on an incumbent race, it was a blowout.
That's
to
true.
To go against that spent 2.5 times what we spent, and he had the world. And the governor, you know, does the announcement for the four-lane continue, you know, just a few days before the election. It was all.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, he voted for the gas tax, and of course, you know, you and I were opposed to the gas tax.
Absolutely. Well, all right. So you're winning now. So let's talk about the moving parts that got to take place now. So the party is going to hear it.
They will hear it.
And they're one of four state level challenges in the Republican Party, right?
Yeah, I think there's actually five.
Oh, five.
I think there's five that they're hearing, and those are going to be on June 25th.
Okay, so June 25th, the state party, that's level one in terms of they take what's called an administrative action. They can choose to accept or deny the challenge, after which I guess he has a right to file a legal challenge if he wants to.
He could. He absolutely could. Now, he is on record, even though he was on record conceding, he is on record saying he will accept whatever the party. But either way, whether he accepts it or not, he lost, we won.
The other one in the same county, though, Etowah County's got two House races being contested. The other one you mentioned a minute ago was 29.
29.
And those guys were only separated by, what, 70-something votes?
Correct. After the provisionals. It was 80-something on election night, and it's 70-something votes. And what I'm told, there were to be no votes for 29 at Elliott Community Center, but there were 10. Mark Gidley got 9, and Jamie Grant got 1 there. So Jamie won Etowah County, Mark won Calhoun County. And that's what.
Now, right now, your opponent, who's challenging, Gil Isbell, he says he's probably not going to pursue legal action. He'll take whatever the party. That's what he says.
That's what he has said.
Now, what's Jamie Grant saying? I haven't talked to him.
He was saying the same thing.
Okay, so they're both going to lean on what the party decides. Right. Elsewhere in the state, I know we've got that state senate race with Tom Whatley.
One vote.
One vote, dude. Can you imagine a multi-county state senate race? I mean, you know how big those state senate districts are.
It proves the point. Like the
every
lawsuit,
vote.
Yes, every vote counts. It absolutely counts. And this election where we had such a small, I mean, it was pitiful the turnout we had. You know, this runoff primary is going to be even smaller. There's no way in the world you could ever get the same people back out to vote. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. This is ludicrous. What my opponent, my defeated opponent, is asking. I mean, literally is just hoping some way, somehow the state party would declare him the winner, but that's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either. I mean, I think the state party is intent upon probably certifying this thing.
Well, it's actually already certified.
Well, certified, you're right, and just denying their challenge.
I think they will deny it because there is no grounds whatsoever for it. The burden of proof is on him. And how in the world would you prove if he did find 100 or 1,000 or whatever, we're going to get the majority of those. I mean, as it plays out,
well,
especially that box that we won.
What I'm hearing through my sources are that they've identified a total of 120 people in that county, in Etowah County, that voted in the wrong place. That does not mean there were 120 in your district or the other. That means they were spread out. 120 people voted in the wrong place because the registrars had not assigned them correctly. 120 people is not going to change. When you break it all down into wherever they were and who they were supposed to vote for, it's not going to change any of the elections.
And even if you went a 50-50 split, you know, or if you gave him all of those, it wouldn't change the outcome.
But I will say this. Registrars got to get their act together.
Yeah, especially the deal they caused in Rainbow City 2 years ago that you're intimately familiar with.
Yeah.
Where they had people that lived in the city not allowed to vote and people that didn't live in the city voting in our municipal elections.
And then they had people whose house was divided by the line. They didn't give them any, they didn't let them vote. It was just, it was unreal.
It was the craziest mess. And hopefully, hopefully we're going to get it straightened out.
And you don't have a Democrat opponent.
We do not.
So you are state representative.
I've already changed my Facebook face to representative-elect House District 28. And I don't know anybody else that served, because technically I served District 30. I'm the community development appointee for 29, and there's not even a House member, so I joke that I'm representing 29, and then I'm elect, representative-elect for 28.
So you served all
county.
Three districts in the county.
Got them all covered.
All right. Well, listen, brother, congratulations to you.
Thank you, sir.
And you want to hang around a little bit? I got some more election stuff to talk about.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll take a break right now. Copper, go ahead and move us to a break. We'll do that, and then we'll come back with state representative-elect again, Mac Butler. Talk about some other stuff with election desperation attached to it as the title of number two on the Triple Dipper. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We are back right now in the studio with my friend, State Representative-elect again, Mac Butler. Mac, by the way, I just showed you a text I got from David from Huntsville. Wants to know if you can come represent them up there, too, while we're at it.
Well, with the redistricting, if we get the Board of Registrars done, it may be included.
You know, who knows? They might just draw it in. We'll draw South Huntsville right on into district.
Be honored to have them.
Hey, listen, man, so I got several other things in my show, the Triple Dipper today, number two. I'm just calling the whole thing election desperation. There's some weird stuff out there, especially in our U.S. Senate race. So your thoughts, first of all, let me ask you this. Katie Brett was all about Mike Durant not doing a debate.
Right.
And now she won't do a debate.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
I mean, what's your thoughts on this? Cause you were a party chairman, you've been around, party politics for a long time, been an elected official. What's your thought on candidates not showing up for debates?
The rule is if you're ahead, you don't debate.
The unwritten rule.
Because you have nothing to gain by it.
Yeah.
So that's where it went. Durant was ahead. Now she's ahead. And she's just following that unwritten rule.
Well, yeah. I guess that's probably true. I mean, in the meantime, though.
And it would be very hard to go up against someone like Mo Brooks.
Well, Mo can speak. And she knows what's going to happen. She's going to get up there. And Mo's going to point out that she was at the BCA when they supported gas tax. And she's going to then turn around and say, well, Mo Brooks, you're this, that, and the other, and Trump doesn't like you. And it's, anyway, her words were, according to the article on WHNT, she says that I would love the opportunity for a debate, but unfortunately, Congressman Brooks is more interested in creating a circus. That's her side of the story. You can't whisper in the microphone.
If I was in first place, I wouldn't want to go up against Mo either.
Well, she ain't doing it. She did go and speak to members of the Alabama National Guard this weekend, which, by the way, I certainly appreciate. I thought multiple times when the Guard has its annual conference that if politicians can go and speak to them and honor who they are as, service members for the state. Apparently, she did this weekend, and Brooks is coming, actually, she went Friday, and Brooks went Saturday, apparently. So that's
We had both of them here for our breakfast, and they both did an amazing job. That was my first time to see her in person, and I have to admit, she was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, she's a dynamic retail politician. I mean, she gets out there. She's got I've said multiple times, even on this show, if I had my druthers, I would love to have Katie Britt's personality, Mo Brooks' voting record, and Mike Durant's resume all wrapped into one candidate.
Well, that would be a package.
Happy man.
Strong package.
Did you see the story on 1819 News about the endorsement that Katie Britt got from the outgoing Democrat Party?
I did see that. Yes, that's one you do not want.
I mean, how crazy is this? Okay, so back up for my audience's benefit. 1819 News, I reference them quite often. We're affiliated through the Alabama Policy Institute. So a guy named Wade Perry is the outgoing executive director of the State Democrat Party. That was Democrat Party with a D. Anyway, the State Democratic Party, Wade Perry, says literally as he's leaving his job, he says his last day is Tuesday, but before his departure, he let it be known to the world he thinks highly of Republican Senate hopeful Katie Britt. Okay, that's fine. Thinks highly. No big deal. But it's what he said afterwards that caught everybody's attention. He calls her pretty awesome and says she was super helpful to getting Doug Jones elected. And then he went on to say he also credited her for supporting the gas tax increase in 2019. And he says that she's way better than Representative Mo Brooks. All right, so your thoughts as an elected official party guy, Mac Butler.
Well, that is something you do not want. 100%.
And
most of us diehard Republicans know that her former boss elected Doug Jones.
Well, yeah.
He should have, if you can't say something nice, like your mama said, you're supposed to, you know, in Republican Party politics, you know, if you can't support him or vote for him, you just close your mouth and be quiet.
And it's also believed, by the way, that by doing so, he pretty much locked Obamacare in.
Yes, absolutely he did. And there was an abortion vote, too, as I recall, that Doug Jones. But we blame Shelby. And I know he did a lot of good things, but that was not one of them.
No, that was not one of them. And so, yeah, so folks, weird thing, 1819 News, our buddy Jeff Poor, who comes on the show quite often, is reporting, and I saw it. It was on Twitter. That's where it came out. That literally in response to someone else.
It was a friend of ours, Representative Alan Farley.
Oh, that's what it was. He was responding to Alan Farley.
That's right.
Representative Alan Farley. So literally Wade Perry, Democratic Party Executive Director, tweets that he likes Katie Britt because she was super helpful getting, you know, Doug Jones elected, raising the gas tax, and says she's way better. She's way better than Mo Brooks. Now, in the minute or so we got left, and I'm going to do some more, brother, after the next break when you're probably already gone, but Mo Brooks is now also in the news because whereas Katie Britt might have her weird endorsement, he's seeking the re-endorsement. You seen that story?
I did see the story. Think it is unusual to request such, but he's using the Mitch McConnell, and most of us diehard Republicans are not fans of Mitch McConnell.
No.
And he's probably right that the reason after Trump dumped him, Mitch, you know, left him alone, and of course Durant was, you know, the man then.
He became the target.
But it'll be interesting to see what Trump does. One thing about Trump, no one can predict him. It wouldn't surprise me if he stays quiet. Wouldn't surprise me if he came all out and did a rally for Mo because of Mitch McConnell. Because Mitch, well, is like Lindsey Graham and Mitt Romney. Those of us conservatives don't care for him at all.
Well, we'll see what happens. All right, there's the music. Now we got a break, brother. But listen, we're going to come back. I'm going to tell you more about that. Mo Brooks makes McConnell the enemy as he begs for Trump's re-endorsement, according to Newsweek. That's an odd turn of events. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. All right, folks, taking a quick break. We'll be right back, still on number two of the Triple Dipper, Election Desperation. And then you're going to like the stuff I got later. It's going to be a hoot. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.